God's treasure chest of promises is what we've been looking at. Ken or Linda could use one. So we're going to do a little bit of review. Okay, now we're talking about God's promises are sure, aren't they? God's promises cannot fail. You can count upon them. The Word of God, I guess you could almost call that God's treasure chest of promises, the very Word of God. But hopefully putting some objects in here that will help us remember these promises when we need to be reminded of these promises. And the first week after we established that God's promises are sure, represented by these handcuffs. Can someone tell me what promise does this represent? Connie? That's right. We're attached to God. There's no way that we can run away from His presence. Now, we know in general, the whole world, that God is everywhere. You know, God is not a tree. God is not a mountain. Don't misunderstand me. But He is everywhere. But for the child of God in particular, He's with us, right? In the form of the Holy Spirit, which is also God. And we said basically when you were saved, the key was thrown away. So you're secure in the Lord. The second thing that we looked at in particular was this picture frame. And this promise from God was what? Do you remember what that was? Bev, what was the promise? In the image of Jesus. That the promise is God is still working on us. That's good. I need a lot of work. How about you? God is still working on us to make us more and more in the image of Jesus. And if you look at that passage in Romans chapter 8, you'll find some really, really cool stuff. Because it talks about how God the Father is working on us. It's talking about how the Holy Spirit is working on us. It's talking about how Jesus the Son is working on us. And it even talks about how life and circumstances are working on us so that we'll become more and more like Jesus in the image of Jesus. That's that verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose in Romans 8:28. Last week, do you remember what this, like I said, this is a very expensive prop here. It's a partially used roll of packing tape. But there was something. Gwen, what was it?
Never-ending.
Okay, never-ending. What is never-ending? Okay, God's love, but in particular, remember we focused on one thing in particular?
Life,
that's it, life. That God has promised us eternal life. We said it, you know, everlasting and eternal many times in Scripture. It's the same word in Scripture almost all the time. Maybe there's an exception there somewhere, but the idea is forever life. God has promised us forever life. And that started, represented by the circle, the never-ending circle. It started whenever we trusted the Lord as our Savior. Some people mistakenly say sometimes, and they don't think about it, and I don't really fault them too hard for it, but people will say, well, someday we're going to have eternal life. No, not really. We have eternal life right now because we're not going to die. We're just going to pass from this world. Our soul and spirit goes on to be with the Lord. So we got three promises we've looked at, that God's presence is always with us, that He's working on us to conform us more and more to the image of Jesus, and that we've been promised forever life for all those that trust the Lord as Savior. Now tonight, can y'all see what that is? It's a big bandage, okay? Tonight we're looking at in particular. There's lots of ways you could picture this, but I chose this one in particular. Can you picture when you was a child and you'd be running in the driveway and mom and dad said, don't run in the driveway, you're going to hurt yourself. And you'd fall in the dirt and scuff up your knee, right? And you would want mom or dad to come, probably mom for the most part. Dad would come and say, toughen up. You know, it's kind of the way we are as men, but not always. But they want mom to come up and maybe kiss their boo-boo and put a bandage on it or something. In other words, mom would come and help Junior, right? Tonight, the promise that we're looking at is that God promises to help us. God promises us that He will help us. Now, I don't know about you. I need God's help in every area of my life. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not saying, well, I got this one down pat, and I don't need him here, and I need him here, but I don't need... I mean, I'm serious. Every area of my life, I need the help of Jesus. I need the help of the Lord. Do you? Now, if you're here tonight and you got something going on in your life and it's huge and it's about ready to bowl you over and you're worried and you're stressed and everything else, let me remind you that God is there to help you. Now, this might turn into a two-parter, maybe even a three-parter. I'm not sure. You see that little Bible that I put a bunch of verses there. It's not a Bible, but I put a bunch of verses so that we could go through them fairly quickly as we talk about the help of the Lord, okay, tonight. So we're going to be jumping around in different verses. God's treasure chest of promises tonight, the promise of God's help. Now, the emphasis is on the book of Psalms and the New Testament, where it talks about, actually uses that word helps or something along that line. 15 times in Psalms, the writer of Psalms calls upon God's help. 15 times in the book of Psalms does someone call out, the psalmist calls out for God's help. Point number one, we are welcome to call upon God's help. That's point number one, the promise of God's help. But point number one, we are welcome to call upon God's help. You know, I'm thankful that I can call upon God's help, aren't you? I mean, he invites us to come before his throne. He invites us, and it actually says that in the first verse that should be on your sheet there in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Do you see that first verse? If that's not the first verse on your sheet, Amy, put your section together wrong. Has everybody got that? All right, good. You did good, Amy. All right, Hebrews 4:16. It's under the title, we are welcome to call upon God's help. We know this verse, we use this verse, but I don't know if you've noticed this word help in there before. It says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. Now, what is that talking about, coming boldly? Can someone explain to me, what does that mean, coming boldly into the throne of grace? Or what is this, what discipline in the Christian life is this talking about? Tim says prayer. Exactly right. We're to come boldly. You know, a lot of people are like, I just don't want to bother God with that. I don't know. Does he really care about? If I'm understanding this verse right, we're supposed to come boldly to the throne. I mean, not like timidly, like, I just don't. I mean, like, God cares about it. If it concerns us, he cares about it. So we need to go boldly to this throne of grace. Why do you think it's called grace? We don't deserve it. It's a place that we receive unmerited favor from God, right? Because we really don't deserve any good thing we have, no better than we are, right? In our own sin nature and our sinfulness. But he says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. For what reason? That we may obtain mercy? Wow. Do you need mercy? Mercy's not given. Now, grace is unmerited favor. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. So you go before God and you say, God, I really don't deserve this, but could you do this? And we're like, mercy, 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 mercy. I'm thankful for God's mercy, aren't you? So we go to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. And then it says specifically, and find grace. Grace, that unmerited favor to help in time of need. To help. You know, when we go to God in prayer, it's all right to ask for God's grace. It's all right to ask for God's mercy. It's all right to ask what we'd like to see happen. I think it's important that we say, nevertheless, not my will, but your will, Lord. But we do find grace, we find mercy, and we find, therefore, help in time of need. You know, you may be going through something tonight, and you're just like, man, I'm not sure I'm going to make it through this. Well, go to the Lord. Call out to him. Say, Lord, I need your grace. Lord, I need your mercy. And Lord, I need your help. And God doesn't, he's not offended by that. He's not put out by that. He's not distracted by that. God is definitely a multitasker. Now, I'm not a multitasker. I think it's kind of, I really do think it's kind of a man-woman thing. Not always, because there are some men that can multitask, and I'm sure there's some women that cannot multitask. But I'll tell you plainly, I'm not a multitasker. But God is. So, I mean, everybody here could go to God at the same time. Everybody in the world, all, what, 8.5 billion people in the world can go to God at the same time. And God says, I got it. I know exactly where they're at. I know exactly how many hairs are on their head. I know exactly what they're asking for. And I know exactly how I'm going to answer that prayer. That's a big God. We are welcome to call upon God's help. Even in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, 15 times in the book of Psalms, the writer of that psalm calls upon God's help, specifically using that word help. What about some New Testament examples of people asking Jesus for help? Now, this is just specifically people asking and using that word help. Now, there's a lot, I mean, the Bible's full of people that needed God's help, and God sent them help, right? But I'm just looking at the one specifically that used that word help. Now, you have on your sheet there Matthew 15, verses 25 to 28. Now, we're looking at New Testament examples of people asking Jesus during his earthly ministry for help. Now, this is the Canaanite woman. She comes to Jesus on behalf of her demon-possessed daughter, okay? And she comes up to him, and the Lord has that response that, you know, hey, I'm basically here for the Jews. So listen to these verses. You got them right before you there, Matthew 15, 25 to 28. It says, then came she, that's the Canaanite woman, and worshipped him. And what did she say? Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet or it's not proper for to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Now, that's the way they looked at Gentiles. That's the way the Jews mainly look at it. Now, he's not saying that you're less important, but the idea is my ministry is to the Jews at this point, okay? And she said, truth, Lord, that's right, that's true. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So there's one New Testament example of someone using that word, coming to Jesus in his earthly ministry, and simply said, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Another one is found in Mark 9. Now, this is a man who had a son with that had a demon, remember? And that demon would cast this son into the fire and into the water and try to destroy the boy. And he come to the disciples, and the disciples could not cast out the demon, remember? And then some of the Pharisees in this story account in Mark were kind of debating with the disciples. Jesus comes up on it, finds out what's going on. And in verse 22 there, it says, and oft times, it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. That is relating. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and what? Help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway with the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. What's that next word? Help thou mine unbelief. You see, twice this man who had a son that was demon possessed asked for help. You know, I didn't see any rebuke for asking for help. Do you in either one of those stories? Again, Jesus recognized that his ministry was to the Jews, but I really don't think he was rebuking her for coming to him and saying, no, I'm not one that helps people. I'm not the guy. And then this one here, the father of the son demon possessed that kept casting himself, notice that he asked help in two different areas. You know, help my son to be rid of the demon. And I love this down there because it kind of describes where I'm at a lot of times. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Wouldn't we fit in that category a lot of times? You know, it's like, okay, Lord, I really believe that you can do this, but help my unbelief. I really believe that you're going to work all this out for good, but Lord, help my unbelief. You see, it's okay. The big point right here, all right? The big point. It's okay to ask God for help. You know, the only thing that should stop us, or only thing that could, not should, but could stop us from going to the Lord and asking for help is our pride. And pride is going to keep a lot of people out of heaven, because we have to humble ourselves before God. Remember, Jesus says you need to humble yourself like these little children, like this little child that I have before me. And there's a lot of people that are too proud to admit before God that they're sinners. Too proud to admit before God that they are sinners in need of salvation. And you can't be saved until you recognize you're a sinner. And many people won't recognize they're a sinner because they're too proud. But we as Christians, let's make this point abundantly clear. We are welcome to call upon God's help. You know, we're His children. I mean, you think about it with your children. If there's something that your child needs, regardless of whether they're little or whether they're big or full grown or have their own family, if your child comes to you and says, you know what, I really need this. Can you help me? You will bend over backwards if you're the parent that God wants you to be to try to help your child, right? And we're children of God, so why should we ever hesitate? You know, and sometimes you don't have to be a theologian. You don't even know how exactly to phrase it. You can just look up to the heavens or bow your head or get on your knees or however you want to and say to the Lord, I need your help. I mean, I think God wants to hear us say things like that, right? Because it recognizes, first of all, that we're not the answer to the problem. But He is. It recognizes His greatness. Y'all looking at me kind of crazy. Y'all get that point? Y'all see that? Okay, all right. Good. Glad that went over so well. We are welcome to call upon God's help, first of all. We're looking at the promise of God's help. We are welcome to call upon God's help. Point number two, do you realize that without God's help, we may not still be in this world? Point number two, without God's help, we may not still be in this world. Now, we're going to look at some verses there. They're again on your sheet. Paul wrote in the book of Acts, notice this. He's very honest about it. Paul, as he writes in Acts chapter 26, verse 21, it says, for these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help, there it is, help of God. If you want to circle every time the word help comes up, that might be helpful. Help of God. I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. You see, Paul was admitting, if it wasn't for the Lord's help, I probably wouldn't be here. Now, do we always see the help of God? I mean, do we always with these human eyes see the help of God? No, we don't. Because God uses angels to help us sometimes, right? He uses circumstances. He can just touch Himself or by the very word or just a wave of a hand or however He wants to. God can help us in a number of ways. He can help us through other people, right? So, Paul admits that probably without the help of God, I wouldn't be here. You know, this statement of help would probably apply to many instances in Paul's life. It looks like it probably applies back perhaps to Acts chapter 21, where the Asian Jews, they came to Jerusalem, and they stirred up all the Jews in Jerusalem, and it says they wanted to kill Paul, and they almost did kill Paul, but the Romans rescued him. And that was because of why? Because ultimately, as our topic tonight, because of God's help. Now, we don't know. I've mentioned several times about driving down the road and things that you're involved in or not involved in, and you wonder how this happened or how did I miss that wreck or how did I miss that deer on 23? How did I miss that bear? Did you see that bear that was killed on Route 23? Is there in the ditch? I may have mentioned to you, we drove by and Amy said, I think there's a bear in the ditch. Yeah, sure, Amy, yeah, there's a bear in the ditch. It's Still waking up, are you? Here, have some more coffee. No, we drove on by, and we turned around and said, you know, maybe that was just bags of trash. But anyway, it was that bear. And then on the front of, I think that was on the Doddridge Independent, wasn't it, or the Doddridge Herald Record, there was pictures of the deer. It had been hit by something and all, and I think maybe the DNR did eventually come and get it, or somebody got it. I'm not sure who. But the idea is, when we're in this world, I think there's lots of times that God sends us help, and we just don't even realize it. I mean, I'm not one that sees a demon behind every tree. It's kind of an expression. You know, some people want to see a demon. All they ever talk about is demons, and there's demons here, and there's demons there, and there's angels here. We got bigger things to do than to sit around and just talk about demons and angels. But I don't see a demon behind every tree, but there are battles going on all around us. And the Bible talks about that our battle is not really with flesh and blood, but with the demon world. And so God helps us in so many ways that we don't even see. Without God's help, we may not still be in this world. Paul recognized that. And Psalm 94, verse 17, if you want to look at the next reference there on your sheet, the psalmist in Psalm 94, he recognized the same thing. He recognized the same thing, that without God's help, he may not still be in this world. It says in Psalm 94, verse 17, and again, we emphasize the references in Psalms that use the word help. It says, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. What's he talking about? If it hadn't been for God's help, I'd probably be dead by now. I'm thankful that I got a God that's big enough to be able to orchestrate all of our lives and protect us all at the same time and send us the help that we need. Aren't you thankful for that? I'm not sure that it'll really matter when we get to eternity about where God helped us or didn't, you know, as far as recollecting. But if we're ever going to know that, it's going to be in heaven. And he's going to say, did you know what? Did you know how you missed that? Did you realize that, you know, there was something going on and you were real close to it and you could have been killed by it, but I protected you from it? Did you realize that there was I hate snakes. Gwen, I hate snakes. Do you realize there was a snake under that rock that you almost, you know, things like that. God is an ever constant help, and I'm thankful for that. Tonight, the promise of God's help. Number one, we are welcome to call upon God's help. I'd encourage that. It's a good thing. Second, without God's help, we may not still be in this world. And thirdly, and this is the part we're going to park at and talk about for a while. Probably tonight we won't hit them all or we'll be here a while. But thirdly, what kind of help does God give us? What kind of help does God give us? Now, primarily in the book of Psalms, when that word help is used, it also describes the type of help that we're getting from God. And this is where we'll go through it a lot faster since you have the sheet before you, instead of taking time to turn to each one of these verses. What kind of help does God give us? First of all, God gives us personal help. God gives us personal help. If you notice there at Psalm 27 and verse 9, notice what it says. It says, hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my what?
Help.
My help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Now, the psalmist in Psalm 27, and some of these verses will repeat under different points, but God gives us personal help. You know, we don't have to say, well, there's, as some people do, well, there's some cosmic power up in this world and he's way up there and maybe he helps us some. You know, we can get real personal about this. When we talk to somebody about the Lord, we can say, you know what? The Lord is my help. I'm thankful that the help we receive from our Lord is personal help. Now, it has to be, doesn't it? because we all have different needs. We have different personalities, right? We have different giftedness. So our needs are not all the same. Now, there's some in common for sure, But I'm thankful that my God is a personal enough God with his help that I can call him my help. What kind of help does God give us? First of all, he gives us personal help. But that's not all. That's not all. Notice in Psalm 40 in verse 17, the psalmist writes, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me." The Lord knows with your poor and needy, he thinks on you. And notice what it says. The psalmist writes, "Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God." In other words, he's saying, God, hurry up. I really need my help. And guess what? Who his help was? It was the God of the universe. Now you think about that. I mean, you just think about that for a moment. What if he just decided to be the help for this one group? Or, you know, you say, well, Justin, some people would get all hung up and stuck on this, that it's God's chosen people only. Now, I believe that God still has a place for Israel. They are still his chosen people. They will still occupy the land that was promised to them in the Abrahamic covenant. If you hear someone talking like this, that the church has replaced Israel, they're wrong. The church has not replaced Israel. Now, there are some promises we can glean from the Old Testament and say, yeah, I believe it applies today to Christians, absolutely. And we are God's saved people, right? But he still has a place for Israel. And that's why it's so important that our nation stay on the side of Israel. It's not a political thing. It's a spiritual thing. Because God said to Abraham, this won't cost you anything extra, okay? God said to Abraham, I'll bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. So we need to be on the side of the blessing of Israel. I don't care how many of the other nations decide to recognize the Palestinian state. We as Americans better stand strong on the side of Israel. Because the promise is still there. I will bless those that bless you. But God could have just said, you know, I'm just going to be a help to the nation of Israel. But it goes much bigger than that, don't you think? I mean, think about it. The God of the universe is okay with me calling him my help. And that's not, you know, when you say my helper, it's almost like, well, I'm in command. And he, no, I'm saying my help. He is the only one that can help me. He's the only one that has the power to help me many times. I mean, I can do a little bit here and friends can do, but really, ultimately, all help comes from the Lord. And the God of the universe who created all things, who has all power, is all-knowing and ever-present and never-changing. I can go to him and say, Lord, I praise you, I worship you, and I honor you for being my help. Okay, that's pretty big, don't you think? It's like, wow, okay. God gives personal help. Psalm 54 and verse 4, the psalmist writes, "Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul." He calls him mine helper. Notice in Psalm 63, verse 7, "Because thou hast been," what? "My help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice." What about Psalm 70 and verse 5? "But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art," what? "My help and my deliverer, O God. Make no tarrying." Notice in Psalm 94, verse 17, "Unless the Lord had been my help," my help, that is, "my soul had almost dwelled in silence." Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." It says, from whence cometh what? My help. And then verse 2, "My help cometh from the Lord." And in the New Testament passage too, notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6. We've already looked at this. We actually looked at Hebrews chapter 4, I believe. It says verse 13, verse 6, "So that we may boldly say," what? "The Lord is," what? "My helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." You know, I'm so thankful that God gives us personal help. You know, it's not one size fits all. You know, I like it. It's kind of humorous sometimes. They sometimes put on those things, one size fits most. But I'm thankful that with God and God's eyes, one size doesn't fit all. But every one of us can go before God and say, "You are my help. You are my help." Tonight, we've emphasized in particular, with this Band-Aid, there's lots of ways you could illustrate it. But tonight, by this big bandage, God is my help. I'm thankful for the promise of God's help. We'll continue on with this a little bit later. Try to hold on to that sheet if you would. But let me just refresh where we've been, okay? The promise of God's help. Number one, we are welcome to call upon God's help. We are welcome to call upon God's help. You know, sometimes I find it kind of amazing that the lot of people, even Christians sometimes, will try all kind of different things, and then eventually they'll come to the conclusion, you know what, I better talk to God about this. But believe me, we are welcome. I'd say we are more than welcome as a child of God to call upon God's help at any time. Secondly, without God's help, we may not still be in this world. You know, just think about the times he's protected us and been our help that we even are not even aware of. And thirdly, tonight, we just started this. We got a lot of other stuff to cover, but what kind of help does God give us? God gives personal help. You know, that ought to encourage your heart to think that the God of the universe gives us personal help. So tonight, is there some area of your life where you need help? As I said, starting out, I need God in every area of my life. But there might be something that's right here, you know? I'd encourage you, according to the promises found in God's word, we're welcome to call upon God's help, and God will indeed give us personal help. It's not one size fits all. He knows what's best for us. He knows what will help us. He knows exactly how to help us, and he'll do that very thing. I'd encourage you, if you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, are you facing something big right now? Something that's just right before you now? We face, again, I'll say 100 times, I need God's help in every area. But sometimes those big things come up, and we almost feel like a bowling pin. We almost feel like we're going to get knocked over by something. If you find yourself in that situation right now, would you ask God for help through what you're going through? God would love to hear you call out to him for help. And guess what? You can call out to him for help for 1,000 times a day if you want to. Or even more. So would you call out to God and say, "Lord, you are my help. Lord, I need you to work in this situation. I need your help in this area, in this problem, in this situation." Whatever you're going through that you want to talk to him about, would you do that right now in the silence of the moment? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise of your help. Lord, we thank you that you welcome us coming to you and calling out to you for your help. And Lord, I freely admit that I need you in every area. I need your help in every area of my life. But Lord, there's some areas that could be here tonight that people are really struggling with in particular. Lord, may they realize, and Lord, as the problems I face that may be big as well, help us to always realize, Lord, that you want us to come to you, and you're more than willing and able to help us. And we just praise you for that. And Lord, we thank you that the help that we get is not, as we've said, one size fits all, but it's personal help. We thank you, Lord, that you are my help. praise you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.